The enemy sows tares among the wheat. Chapter 32. In our thoughts, we stand still on the shore of the Sea of Gennesaret. In profound silence, the large multitude listens to the words of the Lord Jesus. He is sitting in the ship, telling one parable after the other. You already know the parable of the sower. A few other parables will follow in this chapter. Listen as we tell them. The kingdom of heaven, the voice of the Savior resounds, is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. The Lord Jesus continues to speak about the kingdom of heaven. The thought of an earthly kingdom continued to dwell in the minds of the Jews. Again and again the Lord Jesus pointed out to them the other kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. This wrong thought of an earthly kingdom must leave that people. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. Here the Lord Jesus uses the likeness of a farmer or husbandman. One day the farmer gives his servants orders to sow his field. He gives them seed, good seed, and sends them into the field. The servants work industriously and sow the entire field with this good seed. Afterward, they return homeward, and their work is finished. Soon it is evening. Dusk falls quickly, and it becomes night. But that night, when the people are sleeping, a dark form cautiously creeps to this field. He does this at night, for then it is dark and no one can see him. This man is an enemy of the husbandman. This enemy walks over the field and sows too. Why? Didn't the servants of the farmer do it well enough? Indeed, they did. But the enemy sows bad seed. This evil man sows tares or weeds among the wheat. After this enemy has finished his terrible work, he also goes away. A few days later, the servants of the farmer go to look whether or not the wheat is coming up. To their great joy, and they see the tender plants sprouting all around. A green haze lies over the field. But when they stoop low and closely examine the ground, they see the field is filled with weeds. They shake their heads in bewilderment and murmur, "How can that be?" They immediately go to their master and ask excitedly, "Sir, didn't you give us good seed to sow in your field? How is it there are so many tares among the wheat?" "Ah," the farmer says, "my enemy did that. He purposely sowed tares among the wheat." When the servants hear of this cowardly deed, they are filled with indignation. They burn with rage. "Must we pull out the weeds?" they ask obligingly. "Give us permission to clean out the field." But their master shakes his head and answers thoughtfully, "No, let it stand. Those weeds look so much like the wheat. You could make a mistake. You may accidentally pull out a small wheat sprout and throw it away, and perhaps you would let a little weed stand. No, let them both grow up. Later, when the time of harvest is here and the wheat is ripe, there will be no possibility of a mistake. Then you will be able to see what a tare is and what is wheat. I will then say to my reapers, gather the tares, bind them in bundles, throw them on a heap and burn them. But I also will command the reapers to carefully gather the wheat and put it safely away in the barn. Now, boys and girls, you have heard the parable of the tares. This parable also has a deeper meaning. The field is the world. Two kinds of people live in the world, God's people and the wicked. The wheat refers to God's people, while the tares point to the wicked. The evil one, the enemy, is the devil. The devil always attempts to destroy the work of God. He always sows tares among the wheat, and those tares sprout and grow. While on the earth, God's people and the wicked live among each other. Ah, if the ministers, who are the sowers, had to separate those who fear God in truth and those who do not, they very easily could make a mistake. One time Elijah thought he was the only wheat, and everyone else was a tare. He was grossly mistaken, for God said there were 7,000 plants of wheat in Israel. This means there were 7,000 people who had received a new heart and who feared God in truth. No, the great landowner allows both to remain and grow in the field. But soon, at the harvest, that is to say in the judgment day, it will be revealed who belongs to God's people and who does not. Then the separation will come. When the last day is here, and the Lord Jesus shall appear upon the clouds of heaven as King and as Judge. The dead shall arise, for the graves shall be opened. It makes no difference where they are buried. The earth and the sea will give up its dead. Today, many people have their bodies burned. We call this cremation. Some among them do it for fear of the resurrection. They say, we cannot rise anymore, for there is nothing left but ashes. We are burned. They are fools. They speak as if the Almighty were not capable of bringing every little speck together again. Everyone shall receive his own body again. They who think it is not so are mistaken. Soon, all of us, little and big, rich and poor, the king as well as the beggar, shall stand before God's dreadful judgment seat. God's people, the wheat, shall be gathered and safely put away into the barn, which means they will go into eternal bliss. The tares, the wicked, shall be burned with fire, with unquenchable fire, which means they will be cast into eternal damnation, into the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. The wicked enemy, the devil, strives against God and his church here upon the earth. The devil is always sowing tares. God said in paradise, I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. War between God and the devil has been declared in paradise. This war is raging continuously. When the Lord Jesus cured the blind and the dumb man possessed by the devil, the Pharisees said, he has a devil. God's people are mocked and despised while here upon the earth. The wicked often are prosperous and successful in life. Sometimes it seems as if they can and may do anything. Sometimes it seems as if there is no longer a God who sees everything. Take notice. It seems so, but it is not so. Happily, it is not. In the judgment day, these things will be reversed. The despised people of the Lord shall be taken into eternal glory forever, and the jubilant shouts of the wicked, who had prosperity and joy here, shall be silenced. No, that has been said wrong. The jubilant shouts of the wicked shall be changed into horrid, distressing cries. Trembling, they shall try to flee from the King of Kings, but in vain. They shall yell and cry, O mountains, fall on us, and hills, cover us, but it will be of no avail. And now the question comes to every one of us. What are we? Are we a tare or a wheat? It is the one or the other. No third kind exists. Are you a tare? Then the end will be very dreadful. Tares are burned with unquenchable fire. Only the wheat comes into the barn. Only God's people enter heaven. In the kingdom of nature, tares can never change into wheat. Tares remain tares and wheat remains wheat. But in the kingdom of grace, in the kingdom of heaven, tares can change into wheat. That is to say, a wicked person can be converted by God's grace and receive a new heart. May you ask the Lord for this great gift every day. The Lord Jesus also likens the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed. This seed is exceedingly small, but it grows fast. Yes, this small, insignificant plant finally becomes a tree in which the birds of the air make their nest. So it also goes in the kingdom of heaven. So often the beginning is very small, so insignificant, but it becomes great and powerful. Do you still remember the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the dream of the great image? At that time, a stone which smote this image was cut out without hands. Isn't that correct? And this small stone became a great mountain. The bakers use yeast for the raising of their dough. In the days of Jesus, the people of Canaan did not know of yeast. They used a little leaven to raise their dough. When a woman wanted to bake some bread, she would mix the dough and put a little leaven in the center of this lump of dough. In a short time, all the dough was leavened. This leaven did not spoil the dough, but made it rise. The Lord Jesus says, so also is the kingdom of God. When God converts a boy or girl, that child will not speak about it, but still you can notice it. On what? You can notice it on the life of that boy or girl. His life is changed. The child has a hatred against sin and love toward God and the service of the Lord. That child attempts to live to the honor of God. As the leaven which caused the entire lump of dough to rise, thereby changing its appearance, so the grace of God changes the whole course of the life of God's people. A man is digging in a field. Suddenly his shovel hits something hard. He stoops inquisitively and examines what it may be, and his eyes begin to sparkle, His hands tremble with joy. He has found a treasure in this field. For instance, a chest filled with pieces of Jewish money. Just look. What is this man going to do? The treasure which he has found, he hides in the same place by throwing dirt over it, and he hurries away. Why? He is going to try to buy this field. He hastens to the owner and asks him how much this field costs. Even if the price is very high, he must have this field. Why? Because if the field belongs to him, the treasure in the field will also belong to him. He does not rest until the field is his property. So also we must exert ourselves to the utmost and use all means which God has given us to acquire salvation. A merchantman is traveling on the road. He has a large trunk with him. What is in this trunk? It is filled with beautiful, large, expensive pearls. This merchant travels from city to city. He visits all markets. He is seeking pearls, beautiful pearls. He does this work with pleasure and delight. One day he discovers a pearl larger and more beautiful than any he ever had seen before. And from that time forward, he has only one desire. I must have that pearl. But this great pearl costs so much. That is of little consequence. He must have that pearl. And do you know what he does? He sells all his other pearls, his entire collection. And with this money, he buys this one, this very expensive pearl. When he has finally obtained this costly pearl, he is happier and with this expensive pearl than he would have been if he had kept all the others. This also is a parable with an important lesson. You too seek pearls, boys and girls. The one seeks wealth. The other seeks honor, and the third looks for happiness. Ah, all these are pearls of this world. But if God opens your eyes, and you not only learn to know God in His holiness and righteousness, but also learn to know what you have become through sin, and then God Himself makes a place in your heart for the Lord Jesus. Then all things which this world can give become valueless. What pearls are you seeking? Are you seeking earthly pearls or the eternal pearl? Fishermen are busy working on the shore of the sea. They had been fishing. They had spread out their nets in the water. And a little later, they had pulled their nets out of the water. Now they empty them upon the shore where it is dry and sort out their haul. The good fish are put into vessels, and the bad fish are thrown away. The bad are of no value to the fishermen. What does this parable teach us? The ministers are fishermen who cast out the net. The net of God's word. That is to say, they preach the gospel, they fish. Every year, many church people make confession and are admitted as new members into the congregation. But are all members of the congregation people who fear God? Are they all people with a new heart? If it were only so. But alas, it isn't. Bad and good are among them, converted and unconverted. But the separation will come later, in the day of judgment. The good, God's people, shall be brought into eternal glory, and the bad, the wicked, shall be cast into the place of torment. All these parables were spoken by the Lord Jesus to the multitude and his disciples in one day, and each one has a profound and far-reaching meaning. All of them tell us something of the kingdom of heaven. This portion is a little difficult for you children, but try to remember some of it.